Welcome back to The Briefing. I'm looking at a situation today where three massive structural forces are converging on financial institutions simultaneously, and the timing creates a particularly narrow strategic window. We're talking about core banking modernization becoming urgent exactly as AI automation capabilities emerge and regulatory frameworks fragment globally. What makes this interesting is that institutions have roughly 2 to 3 years to establish modern infrastructure before application layer advantages crystallize and become very difficult to catch up to. Let me start with the most significant development, which is that core banking modernization has entered what I'd call a critical phase. For years, we've known that legacy system replacement is expensive and risky. The numbers are sobering. $50 to $500 million over 3 to 7 years, with historical failure rates of 60 to 70%. But what's changed is that the strategic penalty for delay is accelerating rapidly, and the economics are becoming impossible to ignore. Here's what I'm seeing in the infrastructure layer. FedNow processing costs 45 cents per transaction versus 25 cents or more for wire transfers. That's not just a marginal efficiency gain. That signals systematic margin compression for any incumbents still running on legacy rails. The broader fintech pattern here is that banks completing modernization during what I'm calling the current infrastructure wave can achieve cost advantages of 15 to 25% over legacy burdened competitors when the application wave begins. And that application wave is expected within 18 to 24 months as AI agent capabilities mature. Now, let's talk about where those AI capabilities actually stand today, because this is where the infrastructure story gets really interesting. We're seeing autonomous AI systems demonstrate capabilities that are essential for next-generation banking operations. These include multi-model API integration that prevents vendor lock-in, local deployment addressing regulatory data residency concerns, and autonomous workflow creation that enables self-improving processes. Early implementations are showing $10 to $50 million in annual savings through automated fraud detection and case processing, with 60 to 80% resolution rates for Tier 1 customer inquiries. The strategic implication here is the timeline. We have an 18 to 24 month window for banking-grade autonomous AI deployment. That creates pressure because institutions must complete API infrastructure investments, which run $5 to $20 million, and establish governance frameworks, which cost another $2 to $5 million, before regulatory frameworks mature. The institutions positioned with modern architecture gain first-mover advantages in deploying autonomous operations, and these are advantages that compound as AI capabilities improve. If you're still running legacy core systems when your competitors are deploying autonomous agents, you're not just behind on efficiency, you're structurally disadvantaged in a way that becomes very difficult to overcome. Looking at the regulatory landscape, we're seeing something equally significant. Global regulatory divergence is accelerating, and this is creating 3 to 5 year competitive advantage windows for institutions that navigate geographic frameworks strategically. The UK and EU open banking mandates contrast sharply with US voluntary approaches, while sovereign powers are developing parallel payment systems that challenge dollar-denominated global trade infrastructure. Compliance costs for API banking layers run $2 to $5 million, with 12 to 18 month implementation timelines. These are increasingly table stakes for embedded finance partnerships that generate $5 to $20 million annually for mid-sized banks. But what makes these investments strategic is that they provide optionality across diverging regulatory regimes. The fragmentation extends well beyond consumer banking. Regional payment systems, Russia's SPFS and China's CIPS, are developing parallel to SWIFT and reducing Western financial system leverage over more than $6.6 trillion in annual global trade volume. For payment processors handling international transactions, Stripe processed $817 billion globally in 2023. This creates both currency volatility and strategic questions about infrastructure positioning. There's an unexpected development that may provide some stabilization here. Anticipated Supreme Court constraints on presidential tariff authority could limit executive regulatory power more broadly. Constitutional limits on unilateral policy changes would benefit institutions investing over $500 billion annually in compliance infrastructure by increasing regulatory predictability. Now, tariff policy doesn't directly impact core banking decisions, but precedents limiting executive emergency powers do affect risk assessment for international expansion and cross-border payment strategy. Building on that regulatory complexity, banks should model compliance investments as options on regulatory regime arbitrage. Modern API infrastructure enables rapid adaptation to geographic requirements, while legacy systems create structural disadvantages as frameworks fragment. That 3 to 5 year advantage window rewards institutions investing now in flexible, jurisdiction-agnostic architectures. The institutions that build for optionality across regulatory regimes are the ones that can move quickly when arbitrage opportunities appear. Now, let's address what I consider the most urgent near-term risk, which is Treasury portfolio exposure as the fiscal trajectory deteriorates.
federal deficit projections are approaching $3 to $3.5 trillion by fiscal 2026. That's a 75 to 85% increase from recent $2 trillion levels. With federal debt approaching $40 trillion against $5 to $6 trillion in annual revenue, current 10-year Treasury yields at 4.3% appear mispriced relative to sovereign risk. U.S. banks collectively hold $6.2 trillion in Treasury securities. Community banks with 15 to 25% asset concentrations in government securities face potential mark-to-market losses if yields rise to 6 to 8% levels. Regional banks, those with 10 to 100 billion in assets, hold over $800 billion in collective Treasury exposure and could experience $50 to $150 billion in unrealized losses. This is similar to the 2023 SVB crisis dynamics, but broader in scope. The regulatory framework compounds this risk. Current Basel III capital requirements assume zero risk weighting for Treasury securities. Fiscal deterioration could force regulators to reconsider sovereign risk assumptions, potentially requiring $100 to $300 billion in additional Tier 1 capital across the banking system. More importantly, Treasury market instability affects repo markets, which see over $4 trillion in daily volume, underlying payment system liquidity. This could potentially disrupt Fedwire and real-time payment rails that depend on Treasury collateral. So we're talking about operational risks that go beyond portfolio mark-to-market losses. The strategic implication is immediate. Banking executives should stress test government securities portfolios against 6 to 8% 10-year yield scenarios right now, reassess asset liability duration matching, and evaluate hedging strategies. Institutions with flexible balance sheets and shorter duration assets gain competitive advantage as yield curve repricing accelerates. The window for proactive repositioning may be measured in quarters, not years. Let me turn to monetary policy trajectory, because what we're likely seeing is a setup for renewed accommodation by 2026, and this creates a paradoxical environment. Short-term margin improvement from defensive positioning, followed by renewed fintech competitive pressure as funding costs collapse. The current 4 to 5% cash yield environment benefits deposit franchises through improved net interest margins and competitive sweep account products. Institutional risk-off sentiment could drive $500 billion or more from equities to money markets and short-term treasuries, benefiting banks with strong institutional custody and cash management platforms through higher fee income on expanded balances. But historical precedent from 2020 through 2022 demonstrates how ultra-low rates accelerate fintech adoption. Digital lending platforms originated over $180 billion annually versus $50 billion pre-pandemic. Neobank funding reached over $25 billion, with Chime hitting a $25 billion valuation and Revolut $33 billion. Embedded finance total payment volume grew 40% annually as cost of capital approached zero. Major banks experienced 50 to 75 basis point net interest margin decline during this period, while community banks faced over 100 basis point compression. Fintech funding has contracted 60% from peak, $25 billion in 2023 and 2024 versus $65 billion in 2021, with public fintech valuations compressed 70 to 80%. Renewed monetary accommodation could reignite growth stage funding and competitive intensity precisely when traditional banks are mid-cycle on $50 to $500 million core modernization projects. Looking at the broader financial industrial complex, BlackRock, with over $10 trillion in assets under management, Vanguard and State Street exercise unprecedented proxy voting control, 89% of client votes, and drive tokenization initiatives to maintain capital flow dominance as national borders create friction. Central banks are deploying CBDCs defensively to protect the $18 trillion plus U.S. deposit base from corporate digital currencies and stablecoins offering superior yields, 5% versus 0.2%. The strategic implication is that banks face a compressed timeline to complete API infrastructure and establish embedded finance partnerships before renewed fintech funding creates intensive competition. The move here is to accelerate variable rate asset origination to prepare for margin compression, stress test banking as a service partnerships for credit quality deterioration that accompanies late cycle accommodation, and position for payment system commoditization as real-time rails adoption accelerates under lower funding costs. There's one more development worth addressing that doesn't fit neatly into the regulatory or infrastructure category, but has significant strategic implications. We're seeing emerging concerns about systematic bias in financial media coverage driven by advertiser influence, particularly favoring crypto assets over traditional safe haven assets, despite relative performance data. If gold has outperformed major equity indices while receiving limited coverage due to fewer advertising dollars, this suggests retail investment guidance is systematically distorted. For banking executives, this creates both risks and opportunities. There's deposit flight risk as customers chase media-promoted crypto investments without understanding relative performance, but also opportunity to differentiate through objective investment guidance and capture assets from competitors following biased narratives. Wealth management divisions should develop capability to track actual asset performance versus media coverage intensity to identify customer guidance opportunities. Enhanced due diligence on media-influenced investment products that customers request becomes essential, as well as preparation of communication strategies providing factual performance comparisons. The regulatory implications are significant. Systematic promotion of inferior investment options due to advertiser influence could trigger regulatory scrutiny of financial advertising standards, affecting how banks market investment products. Banks with strong fiduciary standards and objective investment guidance can differentiate in a market where information quality is compromised by commercial interests. This represents a competitive positioning opportunity as customer trust and traditional media-promoted investment advice erodes. So here's the FinTech thesis update for today. What fundamentally changed is the timeline compression. We now have clear visibility on an 18 to 24-month window for infrastructure modernization before application layer AI advantages crystallize. The regulatory fragmentation we discussed creates parallel pressure for jurisdiction-agnostic architecture, and the fiscal deterioration story means balance sheet positioning needs to happen in quarters, not years. The institutions that move decisively on infrastructure now, while simultaneously managing treasury exposure and preparing for eventual monetary policy reversal, those are the institutions that compound advantages over the next cycle. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow.